you will stand as you're able for the reading of God's word this morning. Our scripture is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband seven years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At the moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm really grateful to Andrew and Cindy and the McCrary sisters and the band for leading us in song this morning. One of the most wonderful things about Christmas is that whether you are young or old, you can sing with your heart full as we know the carols together. I've told Andrew now twice that I'd love to admit that, think that my daughters had learned it from listening to his CD, but at our house we learn them listening to the VeggieTales. So, another Christmas has come and gone. Did you get what you wanted? Did you export? Yes. I am so glad. Did you experience the joy of giving to others? Were you overwhelmed with the good news of the birth of the Christ child? Did you follow the star to Bethlehem and pay homage to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I know that some of us have already started carefully taking down the decorations and packing them away and putting them away for next year. But I found myself wondering, in the midst of elves on the shelf and Santa and Rudolph and presents and trappings, I had to wonder, was Christ born for this? So for a few minutes this morning, I just like to reflect on why Christ was born. Christ was born for this. Christ was born to bring light to the darkness. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 4, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. We live in a dark world. There is darkness all around us. And most of the time, we humans bring about that darkness. Someone who is hurting deeply goes into a high school and takes innocent life. Someone who is greedy steals another's humanity and sells them through sex or child trafficking. Someone who already has much takes from those who have so very little, and someone plays God and judges another's lifestyle or their actions. We humans, we lie, we steal, we cheat, all in an effort to seem like we have it all put together. We live in a dark world, and into this dark world, a baby is born who is the light of the world. I don't know about you, but I love Christmas lights. The last 2 years, which means it is a tradition going on forever, we load up our family and our Trailblazer and go on the Trailblazer Express. And if you did that at our house, you would receive a golden ticket similar to the Polar Express, and I would punch your ticket as you got into the back seat of the car, where there would be hot chocolate and treats as we drive around Nashville and Brentwood looking for the best light displays. Last year, in the midst of the Trailblazer Express, started a game of could we find Jesus and the manger in the midst of all the rest that was happening. And before I launch into a sermon about blow-up Santa Clauses and helicopters and reindeer sunbathing beneath palm trees and green dragons that breathe fire, why are there green dragons that breathe fire? Let me simply say that I'm in it for the lights. I enjoy the houses that have lights and not so many other distractions, and I'm a sucker for a good star over a manger. I love the beauty of the Christmas Eve service and the symbolism that takes place as we share the light of Christ with each other and with the world. There's just something beautiful about a light shining out through the darkness that gives us hope. But as I was thinking about lights and stars and the Son of God, who is the light of the world this week, and thinking about my humanity and how deeply I long to be fully known and loved in spite of the dark places that are part of my life, I realized that many of us choose to admire Jesus like we do a star in the heavens. But Jesus beckons us to come close. And when we come close to that star, we realize that it's really like the sun blazing at noonday, a sun that casts out the dark places of our lives. In John chapter 1, John says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Christ was born to bring light to the darkness. Christ was born for this. Christ was born to reveal God's unconditional love. Many of you in this room told me I would be a better youth minister after I had kids, and I didn't want to believe you because I had a deep and abiding love for teenagers, even seventh grade boys. And I felt like my love for them had no conditions. But the truth of the matter is, I was and am a better youth ministry volunteer now because of the birth of my children. And when Carlisle, my oldest, was born, I began to understand God in a different way because I began to understand God's unconditional love. There she was, 21 inches long. She couldn't do anything for herself. She had never done anything for me, yet I loved her. I loved her simply because she existed. And those of us who are parents and grandparents and highly involved aunts and uncles know that this will always be true. Christ reveals God's unconditional love for us in this: God allowed Jesus to die. And Jesus, who was God, was willing to die for us. Here's what I mean. I would gladly give my life for Carlisle or her little sister Hallie Mae. I cannot possibly imagine sacrificing them for anything. My unconditional love for them runs so deep that I would do anything in my human capacity to prevent their death. Yet God, in the form of Jesus, dies to show us the depth of God's love. God's sacrificial love shows, reveals, and confirms for us that we are children of God and that God will go to any length to save us. Again, in chapter 1 of John, John goes on to tell us, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not of a natural descent, nor of a human decision or a father's will, but born of God. 1 John chapter 3 declares, what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Christ was born to reveal God's unconditional love for us. Christ was also born for this. Christ was born to save. Simeon and Anna in our scripture today have faith in the Christ child. We know that they were righteous and devout in their faith. They were waiting. Simeon had been waiting and anticipating the birth of the Messiah, but he had been promised that he would see the Messiah before he died. He must have waited with great anticipation. The entire Israelite nation had been waiting for 14 generations since King David, since Isaiah's prophecies for Messiah. And upon seeing Jesus, Simeon cries out, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for revelation for the Gentiles, and the glory of your people." And Anna declares to Mary that Jesus will become the redemption of all Jerusalem. Christ was born for this. Christ was born to save. Our salvation comes through our faith in Christ. Paul in Romans chapter 3 tells us there is no difference between Gentile or Jew, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when we're confessing our sins, we often stop there. But hear this next part. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Our faith in Christ is our justifying grace. It is what puts us back into a right relationship with God. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he tells us, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Not that this is from yourselves. It is the gift of God." God's gift to us is life with God now through the power of the Holy Spirit, and life with God when this life is over through the power of the love on the cross. Christ was born to save. Christ was born for this. Christ was born to show us how to love. I have two beautiful daughters, as I've mentioned, and one thing is certain of dads of girls, we have seen every Disney princess movie at least 5 times. I have to admit that I may not have been thrilled when Disney decided that we needed another princess in the movie Frozen. But our family went and we saw, and I must say that I love the story revealed there. And if you haven't been to see, I encourage you to go. Frozen is about sisterly love. It's a beautiful story about sisters and how they grow to love one another deeply. If you've seen the movie or the previews, you probably realized, or on the screen above, that there is a snowman who makes an appearance. The snowman's name is Olaf. He comes into the story to help Princess Anna along her journey. And in a critical scene in the movie, they have a little talk. Anna's in need of an act of unconditional love, an act of true love to unfreeze her heart. And she says to Olaf the snowman, she says, "I don't even know what true love is." Olaf replies, "I do. That's when you put another person's needs before your own." Well done, Olaf. You're right. True love is sacrificial love. Jesus demonstrates for us sacrificial love on the cross. Last night I had the privilege of performing a wedding ceremony, and in each wedding ceremony that we perform, we share with the couple and with the congregation that Jesus' sacrificial love is the example of the love for husband and for wife. But the truth is that Jesus' sacrificial love is the example for all of our love. The love between husband and wife, the love between parents and children, the love between us as a congregation, the love that we are to share with the world. The manger always stands in the shadow of the cross. When we think of Jesus' sacrificial love, we tend to run to the cross from where Christ's love flows. But we should also look to his life. Jesus' sacrificial love is seen as he puts others' needs before his own, as he heals people, as he's with them and present with them during their suffering, as he teaches them a better way to live. Jesus' life was not inwardly focused. It was outwardly focused, as he put our needs before his own, even unto death on a cross. Christ was born so that we might learn the meaning of true love, to model for us this power that exists in sacrificial love. Christ was born so that we might share this sacrificial love with all the world, that we might heal the sick, that we might care for the brokenhearted, feed the hungry, clothe the poor, care for the orphan and the widow, and to love our enemy. I pray that in the midst of Santa and presents and Christmas celebration and song this year, that you found yourself at the manger. And if you've not, I invite you to come this morning as Andrew and the band sings a song of celebration, to come and experience the miracle that is the Christ child, to come face to face with an innocent child who is the Savior of the world, who was born to bring light to the darkness, to reveal God's unconditional love, to save us, and to show us how to live. This is the good news, and it makes my soul sing with gratitude, for great is our God. Christ was born for this. Amen.